Go ahead and go to Sunday school. Those that are staying here can turn to 1 Peter. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. We've been on a subject called personal responsibility, or accountability, I should say. Personal accountability. Basing ourselves on the passage over there in Matthew, where Jesus says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And today I'm going to try to finish that up with that last section of it called the day of judgment. The idea of personal accountability is that you are going to be personally judged by a person judge, someone that's going to make you stand in front of him and give an account. You can explain yourself. You can give a reckoning, a reasoning behind your actions, if there are any, and then you're going to have to suffer the consequences or bear your burden, so to speak, in front of this personal God and you as a person giving an account. Now, if you'll notice, before the Bible, not that there was much before the Bible, because the Bible... You want the mic on? All righty. I wasn't loud enough. Is that what you're saying? Now, I just lost my train of thought. See, I'm going to start over. Before the Bible. Not much before the Bible. All right. The idea is that all of these other religious groups outside of the Bible, apart from the Bible, they didn't have the sense of personal accountability. They had the sense that if they did wrong, something bad would happen to them. That's sort of like what nowadays a whole lot of people live according to the concept of karma. That is, if you do something good in your life, well, eventually that good's going to catch back up to you, and everything's going to work out in the end. And this was also the way Job's friends sort of treated him, saying, look, we know that nobody who does evil is blessed by God, and we know that nobody who does good is afflicted by God. We know that. This was the philosophy of Job's friends. And Job kept telling them, no, I'm telling you, there's something wrong here. This is not according to what I've done. This is an affliction that's happening now. And then Job comes to it. He comes clear. He says, someday I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to answer him and I'm going to have a chance to explain myself, and all of you all are going to see. And that is the concept of personal accountability in a day of judgment in the future. The point is, you're not judged in this life. Not that you can't be. You can be judged in this life. But generally speaking, people are not judged in this life. Judgment comes after this life. And like we saw last week, it's going to come after a resurrection. There's going to be a resurrection of the body, and you're going to be judged in your body. Even Job, I think one of the earliest books written, even written in all of secular history, one of the earliest books written, Job says, I know that at the latter day, I'm going to see God for myself. These eyes are going to see him. Even though my flesh rots in the grave, I'm going to stand in my body and see God and talk to him. That's the faith of the Christian, that we're going to stand before God in our bodies. That means there's going to be a resurrection and then a judgment. And that's what he says over there in Hebrews chapter 9. He says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, there are groups that will say, no, there's no judgment for sin after death, because death is the punishment for sin. And yet that flies in the face of most of the Bible, telling you, in fact, one of the cardinal doctrines of the Bible, and that is, you're going to be judged after this life. It doesn't matter how it happens in this life. It doesn't matter if you've lived a wretched existence. Notice in the Bible how many times this concept comes out, like the rich man and Lazarus. And Jesus says, the rich man fared sumptuously every day. Everything was going his way. And this poor beggar Lazarus was thrown at his gate, and says he fed him, and the dogs would lick his sores. And yet, when it was all done and over with, one was taken off to heaven and one was taken off to hell, and everything was topsy-turvy. Everything was upside down.
The idea that most religions have, and even most people have today, is that we receive the fruit of our lives in this life. We receive the fruit of our doings in this life, and that the next life is less important. And let me tell you something, that's not the doctrine of the Bible. The doctrine of the Bible is everything could be going wrong for you today. You could be afflicted, and you could be in the minority. You could be in the worst shape ever. You could be a beggar. You could be sickly all your life. You could die young. You could be as righteous as you can and still everything go wrong. But someday everybody's going to give an account. Now, the way this works out is there's going to be a day of reckoning. I read this start at the end of my last one a couple of weeks ago. Look at what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's start at verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Now, when we get to this point here where we say he's ready to judge the quick and the dead, quick is an old English word that means alive. He's going to judge the living and the dead, people who are alive and people who have died. Just stop and consider that concept, because most people have the idea that there is one judgment coming and God is going to sort everybody out according to their works. And those that have done good are going to be blessed and those that have done evil are going to be cursed. And there are verses in the Bible that would make people think that that has to be the way it's going to be. But right here he says he's going to judge the living and the dead. And you have to stop and think, well, now, wait a minute. How can he judge the living and the dead in one single judgment? Because, well, some of them are living and some of them are dead. And the dead he has to raise again to be able to judge them in their flesh. And so just automatically you ought to consider the possibility that there's more than one judgment. That there is more than one judgment. One is the judgment of the living and one is the judgment of the dead. I want to deal with the judgments of the living right now. Consider the two judgments of the living that I can discern in Scripture. If you've got a little different take on it, that's fine with me. I don't care. I've actually read people who give out, you know, there's seven judgments, there's six judgments, there's nine judgments, and I don't know. I can't find all of them judgments. I find four that are coming. Two of them that are the judgments of the living and two of them that are the judgments of the dead. Let's look at a couple. Look at, first of all, Ezekiel chapter 20. And verse 37, when it comes to judging the living, that means people who haven't died. But I thought the judgment, the personal accountability, comes after this life. Yes, or after this dispensation. Look at Ezekiel chapter 20. Let me see, I better get there first. Let me see, I said 20, look at verse 37. God's talking to the Jews. Look at verse 36. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, go ye, serve ye every one his idols, and hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in mine holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. And there will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein ye have been scattered. And I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers. And there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have been defiled. And ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord God. This is one of a number of places where God refers to a day when he comes to this earth and he's going to take living Jews and he's going to bring them out of their places where they have been, where they are living, and then he's going to pass them under a judgment, and they're going to be judged according to his mercy and according to his covenant that he made with their fathers, and they're going to be judged according to this criteria that he has set up, and some are not going to enter into the land, and some are. Now that's what he says here. Some are going to be able to come right on in, and some are going to be rejected, and then he says, everyone, all of Israel is going to serve me. The whole nation is going to serve me in my land, in this land that I gave. And it's going to happen right here on this earth. Now consider what the Bible talks about, and I'm going to be getting into in my next set of subjects. I'm going to be getting into what's called the millennial reign, the day when Jesus Christ comes back here to reign on this earth, and how it's going to happen after the tribulation. Some people are going to survive the tribulation, and there's going to be a group of Israelites that are going to survive this great time of tragedy and affliction that's going to come on the world. And those ones that survive are going to be passed under the rod and going to be judged while they're still alive. Now, this is not the judgment of the dead. This is the judgment of the living. These people are still alive, and that's what he says is going to happen. And all of you are going to have to give an account, and those that survive and get through my judgment are going to walk right into the land, and we're going to establish this kingdom of God here on earth, this kingdom of heaven. We're going to establish it here on earth, and we're going to reign, and we'll get into that later. We're going to reign for 1,000 years. That's the judgment of the living Jews. Let's just glance at a couple more, just because I'm going to try to keep moving on, but I don't want to deal on them too deeply. Look at Psalm 50. Psalm 50, verse 3. He says, our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. That's another reference to the day when he comes and judges his people. Look at Psalm 96. Look at verse 13. Psalm 96, 13, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. He's coming to judge. Now, the judgment, the idea that most people have of the judgment is, we all just live, and then when we finally die, we go up there and we are judged by God. And God, and this one judgment gets us all together. It's called the great day of his judgment. This is the great judgment. And everybody's going to be judged, and they're going to decide whether or not, God's going to decide in this one single judgment, whether or not you get to be with him or not. And that's the idea. It's a mistaken idea. The idea that the judgment determines your position with God or your relationship with God. And that's exactly backwards of what the Bible actually teaches. The Bible teaches that your position or your relationship with God determines your judgment. What judgment you're going to be found in. Your relationship with God determines where, in what place are you judged. And the judgment never determines whether or not you're right with God. It only determines how you stand with him afterwards. What your position is in a graduated sense. In other words, you get rewards. Or, as I've written down all kinds of verses that I will not be able to get to, but we got rewards. The Bible mentions crowns that people are going to receive, and an authority that they receive, and a position of usefulness in God's kingdom. All of these things are talked about as being the result of the judgment, but never the relationship you have with God. You'll notice that when God says this, he says, I'm going to come and I'm going to judge my people. He already knows who he's talking about. He's talking about Jews, people who have been granted this wonderful election by God, that God says, because these people are related to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and because they're my physical brethren, I'm going to come for them and I'm going to judge them separately from all these others. This is what it says. He's going to judge his people Israel in a separate judgment than all these other people. He's going to bring them out. He's going to bring them through. He's going to gather them out of the countries. He's not going to bring the countries. He's going to gather these people out of the countries. They're going to come to him and they're going to pass before him, and he's going to judge them personally because of who they are. They go to this judgment. And then that judgment determines whatever it determines about them. Primarily, whether they're going to come into him with his kingdom, reign with him for that 1,000 years, or whether they're going to be cast out into outer darkness. And there are many references to this day of judgment. You'll see the parables talk about this a lot. He talks about my servants, and I give them certain things, and then I go away, and then I come back, and then I judge them, and this is what happens. You read these parables and understand he knows who he's talking about. He knows who his people are. He knows who his elect are. He brings them out of all these places and he judges them so that he can then have a pure nation, a nation that pleases him, in a kingdom that pleases him, doing things that please him. By the way, it's not about what pleases you. It is about what pleases him. He doesn't care what you think. He doesn't care what you like. He doesn't care what makes you feel good. He's going to come back someday and judge you and say, it's about me, and it's going to make me feel good, and it's going to be what I like, and it's going to be about my will. That's his promise in that day. All right, so notice that the first judgment of the living we find is people he knows. He says, these are my people, Israel. And it's easy for people nowadays, a lot of Christians nowadays, spiritualize this and say he's not talking about Israel because Israel has been rejected. And they've got a couple of verses. They got that Matthew 21 over there where Jesus says, the kingdom of God is going to be taken from you and given to a nation that brings forth the fruits thereof. And of course, that happened when the church began, and we are now the royal nation that God has given these gifts to. But that doesn't mean that all of those prophecies that talk about Israel and being brought out of the nations and being exalted above the nations and all of these things, that doesn't mean that's not going to happen. You just got to make sure you don't deny 500 verses of the Bible to try to apply one little verse in a specific way. Be real careful that you don't try to spiritualize most of the Bible so that you can follow your little doctrinal canard. Here you have this idea that the church has now taken the place of Israel, and so you get rid of all the times the Bible says, I'm going to come and I'm going to get my people Israel. Even in the New Testament, in Romans, he says, all Israel is going to be saved. He's going to come and he's going to take Israel, and he's talking about natural Israel. You read Romans 11, it's clearly differentiating between Gentiles and Jews, and in the future, the Jews who are still elect according to the mercy of God, because the callings and gifts of God are without repentance. He doesn't change his mind. He's going to save Israel. That is those wicked, unbelieving, Christ-denying atheists all over the world called Jews. He still loves them, and he's still looking for them, and he still has them elect in his mind. He says, I'm going to bring them out, and they're going to come to me, and they're going to serve me. And what I promised Abraham is going to come true in a very physical, natural way, not just a spiritual way like we have in the church. That's the first judgment of the quick. The judgment of the quick, the judgment of the living. All right, let's look at the next one, and that's the judgment of the Gentiles who are still alive. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Most of the parables are dealing with the judgment that Christ has going to deal with on the Jews. You might find a way to apply it to us in the church and what have you, and that's fine. I'm not against you looking for general truths in these things, but if you look at most of the parables, most of them are dealing with this judgment I've already talked about. That's the judgment of the living when Jesus Christ comes back and judges the surviving Jews before his kingdom. That's most of the parables that he's dealing with. But now here in Matthew chapter 25, he switches gears in verse 31. In verse 31, read it. He says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Where? On earth. He's coming. He's coming to earth. And he's going to sit on his throne of glory on earth. Who's he going to be judging? The living, the quick. This is the one that's been appointed to judge the quick and the dead. All right, he comes. He's coming to reign. He's going to take his people and judge them separately. Now he comes. He sits on the throne of his glory. Verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Now that word nations actually genuinely excludes Jews. That's the word Gentiles, nations. The nations, the other than Jews, nations, all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee unhungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? And or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. I wonder who he's talking about. These my brethren. Jesus was a Jew. He was an Israelite. And he says to these people who have survived the tribulation, he's going to judge them. And he says, if you visited, if you clothed, if you fed, if you gave drink, to one of these, my brethren, he says, then you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now notice what happens here, and notice the disconnect that a lot of people have. This is like the favorite judgment day scenario of religious people, especially religious Christians. I've dealt with so many, both Protestants and Catholics, who consider this to be the key to understanding the judgment. And their idea is that even though you're an adulterer and an idolater and a pervert and you like pornography and you steal and you lie and you use God's name in vain, as long as when somebody needs something, you give them something, you just be nice to some people, then God's going to say, it's all going to be all right. You come on into the kingdom. It's a charity gospel. It's the idea that if somebody comes up and says, can you help me please? And you give him a coin, then God's going to overlook your sins. Now, I got news for you. That's not what this judgment here is about at all. This is not about people who have died and gone on to God to be judged according to their works. This is about people who are still alive when Jesus comes back to reign. And Jesus is coming back to reign, folks, and that is going to be the signal point of earth history. It's not the most important point in our life, in our eternal life. We're going to have an eternal life, and God's going to do big things. But there's going to be a 1,000-year reign that's going to be the focus of this earth's history. And it's going to be according to God's will. And people trying to get into that place are going to have to know what the judgment is about when you try to get into that place. This is not about eternal life and salvation in the sense that you go to, after you die, you go to be judged by God and He determines whether or not you deserve heaven or you deserve hell. That's not what this judgment is saying. What He's saying is, you people who are still alive when I come to reign, I'm going to pass you in front of me, and it's all going to be about how you treated my brethren, the Jews. Now you think, well, that doesn't even make sense that he's going to completely overlook all the other stuff. But that's about how, that's what he means when he says you're going to survive this thing. You survive the tribulation and you come up to me. When I come, don't think you've gotten away with it just because you survived the tribulation. You survived all the comets falling down and you survived the 7 times heat of the sun and you survived all of these other stuff and those evil beings that come out of a bottomless pit and they're stinging people off. You survived all of that! But then you gotta go up in front of the judge and he's gonna ask you a very specific question. Did you help my brethren? Were you on the side of my brethren, my elect, the ones that this tribulation was all about? The time of Jacob's trouble. What this was about my brethren and I'm turning them back to me. And I want to know whether you helped or not. Yeah, read the book of Obadiah and find out why they were judged. Yeah, read the books in the Old Testament and find out why they were judged. Because they laughed. Because they were in agreement against this God's people, even though God was judging his people. This is what it's all about. This judgment of the living, Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to say, pass them before me. I want all the nations that survive, come before me. Did you help my people? When they were hungry, did you help them? Did you put your neck out on the line to help them? And if you didn't, if you passed them up, if you let them go, if you said, I'm not interested in them, if you agreed with their destruction, well, you're not going to make it into this wonderful kingdom there. God's going to take you out and he's going to throw you into everlasting fire. That's what the Bible says. Only people that are going to come go into this time of kingdom reign, the only Gentiles that are going to survive are those that actually stood with Israel during the time of tribulation. Those are the judgments of the living. Now let's going to deal with the judgments of the dead. And yeah, man, I got like 20 minutes to do that. All right. The judgments of the dead. Look at Revelation chapter 20. This is a nice little segue into my next planned Sunday school lesson, and that's on the millennial reign. This is the judgment after the millennial reign, but just notice what it talks about. Chapter 20, we're going to start at verse 1 and read it. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he said, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All right, this is the great white throne judgment after 1,000-year reign. Now, this is the judgment that a lot of people consider what is going to determine whether or not someone is saved or not. And I've got news for you. This is only a judgment to determine how bad you're going to be punished. This is going to determine your position in hell, this great white throne judgment. You're going to see the books opened, and you're going to be given an account to God, and you're going to be judged according to your works, not whether or not you're saved. If you wanted to be saved, you needed to get into that other resurrection that happened before the 1,000 years, because that's the judgment of the ones that belong to Jesus Christ. Notice that those folks were called out of their graves without a judgment. You see, judgment doesn't determine your relationship with God. Your relationship with God determines your judgment. It determines what judgment you're going to go to. So that if you have a relationship with God right now, that day when God comes and He says, I'm going to establish my kingdom, but first I'm going to call all of my own people out of the graves. So all the dead are going to come out. And even those that are still alive and know Jesus Christ as Savior, they're going to be transformed. And they're going to get their new bodies. And they're going to be completely restored. And even those ones that have been burned or beheaded or died, all their problems, they're all going to be restored and restructured. And they're going to stand before God. And then God's going to judge them. That's called the judgment seat of Christ. What this does here is after 1,000 years, those people are going to reign for 1,000 years. But after all of that happens, you're going to have all the rest of the dead. Everybody who's ever lived, everybody who's ever died, everybody who's ever been born and lived in this life and had something to account for, they're going to come, they're going to be resurrected, they're going to stand before God in their flesh. And then God is going to judge them, not to see whether or not they belong to Him. They don't belong to Him. They have rejected Him. They have not accepted his offer of grace. They're going to be judged according to their works. And so, according to their works, that's going to determine how deep into hell they're going to be thrown. Now, that's really what that's about. You see, what the point here is that you need to get your relationship right with God first. It has nothing to do with the judgment, your relationship with God. The judgment is a result of your relationship with God. You get judged in Christ right now, and that day He'll just call you out by name, and you'll be lifted up and given a place with God, and then your judgment will have to do with your crowns or your rewards. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your relationship with Him is null, it's rejected, then someday you're going to be resurrected and going to be judged according to your works, and you will be then placed in that lake of fire. And the Bible clearly states that there are different levels of suffering in this eternal place of fire. The place of eternal fire is not a very popular subject anywhere except in the Bible. It's mentioned a whole lot of times in the Bible. The Bible talks about this place of fire and judgment all the time. If you're too sophisticated for that, you don't think that can possibly be. You have some sophisticated way of retranslating and re-revising and re-understanding and repurposing and stretching and twisting and making it not happen that way. Well, then, you know, you go your way if you like that. I'm just trying to believe the Bible. I like what that song said. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, let's walk the heavenly way. You see, we're taught by the Bible. We don't teach the Bible. We don't change the Bible. We don't correct it. We don't try to fix it. We just accept it. And we don't take a Bible that we ourselves translated or we ourselves. We don't even take the Bible we prefer. We just take the old King James, old English common Bible and just say, that's what we're going to go with. We're going to be taught by the Bible. We're going to be led by the Spirit. And a lot of people think they can be led by the Spirit even though they've never been taught by the Bible. What they're being done is they're being led by their own emotions. They're being led by their own desires and wishes. You want to be led by the Spirit, you first got to get taught by the Bible, and then the Spirit can lead you. And there are some people who are taught by the Bible and who are still not led by the Spirit, and that's a shame also. But one way or the other, I wasn't going to preach on that song. Let's see. All right, this is the great white throne. Just notice, some people will have a question about this, and I've had this question asked. They said, what is this about? You know, the sea gives up the dead and then death and hell. And I just want you to know that this has to do with the resurrection of the body. People who have died at sea or drowned, all those people in the flood, they drown. They're in the sea. Their bodies decompose in the sea. It's not going to make any difference. They're going to be resurrected. They're going to be placed right in front of God and going to be judged in their bodies. Those people that died on earth, That death that's on earth, all these people all over the, I mean, we're talking about death in all kinds of ways. We're talking about war and burning and all kinds of oppression and disease and plagues. They all died the death. That's right. That's not going to make any difference. They can have been burned. They can have been buried. They can have been lost. It doesn't matter. They can be dismembered. God's going to put them all back together and he's going to judge them in their bodies. Then it says hell delivered up the dead which were in it. Hell is a waiting place for judgment, and that the Bible actually says that some people went down body and all into hell. You realize that? That's what they did over there, that whole group of people that followed Dathan and Abiram and Kore and all them. You know, it was a big rebellion against Moses. And God says, these people are going to die not like normal people die. The pit itself is going to open up and they're going to be swallowed alive in it. That means their bodies fell into hell. Even hell's going to give up those bodies that it has. They're all going to come out. They're all going to stand before God and be judged. If they get to that judgment, it's because they didn't have a proper relationship with God. They were in enmity with God during their life. They wait all the way to the end. God opens them up and then judges them with a final judgment. Just like the devil. Just like the devil is going to be judged with a final judgment. He's going to be cast into that lake of fire and he's going to burn there forever and ever. And if you can think that that's appropriate for the devil, you might ought to consider the possibility that it's appropriate for you too. If you can think that hell and the lake of fire is appropriate for Hitler, you might ought to consider your own sins and consider that you're not that much different than Hitler. You're very, very similar. In fact, you're related. All right. Another thing you might ought to notice is he talks about the books. Do you know that God uses books? He says the books were opened. And you'll notice that we have a book called Scripture and we're called people of the book. We pay attention to the book. This is our point. And Jesus says you're going to be judged by the words that I have spoken unto you. John chapter 12. It's the words that I've spoken unto you that are going to judge you in that day. Meaning, this is going to have something to do with that judgment. This book right here. And I think it's going to be a King James Bible. Yeah. Probably going to be a King James Bible. At least if you spoke English, you're going to be judged by a King James Bible. Also, there's a book of the living. The Bible talks about a book of the living. This book of the living is part of this book of life. It's sometimes conflated with them, but the book of the living has to do with while you're alive, you're written in the book. And when you die, you're blotted out of the book. It's called the book of the living. The Bible also talks about a book of remembrance. He says you're going to write them down in your book and you're going to remember my tears and all the stuff that I've gone through. There's a book of remembrance in that great library in God's heaven. There's a book of rewards. Jesus says your part will be taken out of the book of life. That has to do. In another place it says, write this man childless. Gave him something written down in that book. And that's what happened in his life because of his sin that he had done. Then, of course, you have the book of works and the book of remembrance. You have this book of life here that has to do with just the name being written in it. Your name needs to be written in this book of life. If your name's not written in that book, you're not going to make it into heaven. It don't matter how good a person you are. You got to get your name. God's got to know your name. And that way, the way you do that is you get to know God. You got to get to know God through what Jesus Christ did for you. And if you're not serious about it, if you don't want it with all your heart and all your soul, if it's not more important to you than your necessary food, you're liable to lose it and you'll be found in this judgment day, the great white throne. All right, I got about 5 or 10 minutes to get you to this one called the judgment seat of Christ. Look at, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll hit a couple of them so that you'll know this is the other judgment of the dead. Some people die in faith. They die knowing God. They die knowing what Jesus has done for them, and they die trusting in Him. They have been taught by the Bible. They have been led by the Spirit, and they are walking the heavenly way, and all of those things are related, folks. Don't think that you can believe in God and not have any change in your life and that that's good enough. Don't fool yourself. Don't be deceived. A whole lot of people go to church and they're not saved. A whole lot of people go to church and they don't know God. They haven't been changed by God. There's no conversion in them. And church is not enough. Man, church is not enough to save you. You got to get right with God. You want to be part of this so that God knows you by name and calls you out before that thousand-year reign so that you can live with Him. He knows you by name, just like He called Lazarus out of the grave. He'll call you out of the grave. This is the judgment of the dead who have known Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, He says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That means they've already died. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. That's before the coming of Jesus. God's going to raise them up and bring them with Him. Notice that. That's beautiful. This is before the thousand-year reigns. Notice it's a different judgment. It's not the same judgment. It has to do with who you belong to and what your relationship is with God. And He calls you out before the judgment. He pulls you out. He says, and this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Those of us who belong to Jesus Christ with this spiritual new birth that He's given us, and we belong to the church, we are His bride. When God does this resurrection, this what's called the first resurrection, when He pulls out His people out of the grave and gives them their new bodies, we who are still alive unto that day are not going to be judged with the Gentiles. We're not going to be judged with the Jews. We're going to be transformed and given our new body without seeing death. Just like Enoch was translated and he never saw death. Why? Well, because God just took him out. And that's what He's going to do to some of us. We will not prevent them. That is, we won't come before them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a comfort, I got to tell you. Look at, I can't go to all of them. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. This is called the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. It has to do with who you belong to, where you fit in God's relationship with Him. That's going to determine your judgment. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Listen to him. Listen. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, this is the judgment seat of Christ, so that you'll understand. Nobody goes to this judgment to find out whether or not they're saved or not. Nobody goes to this judgment to see or not whether or not they belong to God or not, or to see if they've done enough good works to deserve heaven. That's not what this judgment is. If you wait for that judgment, you're going to go to hell. You got to get right with God in this life so that you know you're right with God. You got to say, God, I need to belong to you, because it's not about how good I am. It's about who I belong to. It doesn't matter how good you are. It matters whether or not you're inside the ark if you want to avoid the flood. You see, it's not a matter of how good you are. It's a matter of where you belong. Now, what happens is that those that belong to Jesus Christ, and you can tell them by the kind of life they live. You don't like to hear that. But you can tell who they are by the kind of life they live. If they like going to church, then their chances are they're the right ones. If they like the fellowship of the brethren, if they like to read the Bible, if they like to talk about spiritual things, if they can't wait for heaven, well, then they're probably saved and they're going to go to this judgment. But if they don't like church, they don't like the Bible, they like that filthy language, and they like the little dirty jokes, and they like the pornography, and they like the drinking and the drunkenness and the smoking and all the junk. They like all that junk, and they don't really like these religious types, these heavenly-minded that are no earthly good. They don't get along that way. Well, they probably don't belong to this group. The Bible says, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Because you might not be in the faith. You might not be one of them. You need to make sure about that now. I wouldn't put that off not even one more day. Find out now. Now notice what he says. You get to this judgment and there's going to come a fire. This fire is going to try your works. It's going to try what sort of works you've done. That means Christians. You might have been building upon this foundation that God has been doing. God's been doing a work. What have you been doing toward this work? What have you been doing? Yeah, what kind of building have you been doing on this work? A whole lot of people have been building wood, hay, and stubble. A whole bunch of junk. And I mean, they got big, huge buildings, and they've got bowling alleys in the basement, and they've got all kinds of great things they're doing. And entertainment? Oh my, it's going to be wonderful. And God's going to say, wood, hay, stubble, nothing. It's useless. Watch it. And the fire's going to come through and burn it all up. And you're going to be building an estate, and you're going to have all kinds of wonderful things. You probably have the latest model car and all that stuff. And you say, look, I'm living right. I'm living right. It's the prosperity gospel. God's blessed me because I'm good. And God's going to burn it all up. It's going to be gone. Just poof, smokes, turns into nothing. Why? Oh, why? Because God doesn't want any of that junk. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. And let me tell you something else. Some people are going to sacrifice. They're going to be tithing, double tithing, triple tithing, more than tithing. They're going to be doing what they can for God because they love God's work. They're going to be going out and preaching. They're going to be knocking on doors. They're going to be reading their Bible. They're going to be trying to study things out. They're going to be talking to people about Jesus. They're going to be paying for this and paying for that and helping that. They're stacking chairs in the church. They're doing all kinds of things. And God's going to say, oh, look at that beautiful gem. Look at that beautiful gold and silver. And when the fire comes through, here are the Christians, and there's their work, and all the junk gets burned away. And the only thing that's left is what you've done for Christ. Amen. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus says, I go and I prepare a place for you. I got so many mansions, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to come back, I'm going to get you, and you're going to come back with me, and you're where I am, that's where you're going to be also. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I know them, and they follow me.
Amen.
I know them. And he says, I'll tell you what. He says, if you believe in me, I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. He'll be mine. He confesses me before men. I confess him before my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
These are mine, he says. They're mine. They belong to me. They're my bride. And I'm going to purge out all the junk. He's going to get rid of all the sick trash that you've been used to. You're going to get rid of all those mental images in your mind. You're going to just purge it all. Amen. Gone. It's going to be gone. There ain't going to be none of this junk. All the Christian mixture, all the Christmas trees, all the big junk that people have been putting up, saying, we like it. It's so wonderful. It's wonderful. God's going to say, burn it. It's gone. All the big Gothic buildings with their steeples and all the stained glass windows, burn, gone. Nothing there. Disappears. And all that's left is the beauty of the love that we've had for God and the work that we've done for Him. And they might be some simple people, but they're saved. And they've got works that are going to survive the fire. And they're going to live in that mansion with Jesus Christ forever. That's the judgment seat of Christ. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're hoping for. We are not waiting for the judgment to find out if we're saved. We already are saved. We know we're saved because we believe the Bible.
Amen.
We trust what He says. And we've given our lives to Him, and it's made a difference in our lives. It's been a transforming decision, an event in our lives that's changed us. And if it's never happened to you, oh, you've got to find it. You've got to get it. You got to get into that first resurrection and then go to that judgment where He cleans us out and makes us beautiful to Him. And He accepts us and He calls us His bride. And then you can read the Song of Solomon and find out how much He loves you.
Amen. Right.
That's all I got for this morning.